Well, Father, we thank you once again for being with us tonight. We thank you, Lord, for protecting our communications. We thank you, Lord, that everybody here is going to share what you have given them, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, for an awesome time with you tonight, Father. And we just ask your blessings upon this fellowship and your anointing as well. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right. If we have any prayer requests, or does anybody need prayer?
Yeah, this is Malcolm.
Yeah, go ahead, Malcolm.
Yeah, I have a the person that baptized me way back years ago is not doing very well health-wise, and I and a bunch of other folks have been praying for him. Bring him up. I'm not. You know, he's up in years, but not that many years.
All right, you want to pray for him, and we'll hook our faith up with yours, brother.
Lord, I just want to thank you for Bill Christos, what he's done in your kingdom, and I just pray, Lord, that you will work your will regarding him. And I'm not sure what that is at this point, but I just thank you that you know him, and I just pray that you'll have mercy on him, his family, and I especially pray that I'll just be really tight with you during this time. And I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We just hook our faith up with Malcolm's, and we believe, Lord. We're going to believe with him, stand with him in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, anybody else?
Brother Michael?
Yeah, Judy, go ahead.
Yeah, I have a friend that has a concern. Her husband only has a third of his heart, and he's been really uptight with some things, some worries and stuff, and he's had some blood in his stools, and they found a mass on each of his kidneys, but I'm praying that there's no cancer there, and they also are having some problems with their neighbors, so I'd like to pray against that and pray that things will go good for them. So, dear Heavenly Father, I bring my friends John and Julie up to you. When John goes for his test tomorrow, Lord, I know there will be no cancer in his body, none. He's a son of God, and he just will not have any cancer in him. And, Lord, take this worry away from him regarding the neighbors and give the neighbors, let the neighbors know what they have done is wrong and that they will make it right. Thank you very much, Lord, and I give you all the praise. Thank you, Father.
Amen. We come against that spirit of cancer in him in Jesus' name, and we command it to go right now in Jesus' name. And the fear of cancer, we command you to go right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that when he goes in there, he's going to get the good report and accept it and stay with it, Lord. And that good report is that he is healed, delivered, and set free from cancer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone else? Well, I'd like to pray. Lord, I just thank you that we're going to see victory tonight. We're going to see victory in the things that are going on here locally. And I praise you, Father, for deliverance and freedom. And we just praise you, Father, for the victory that you've given us in Jesus' name. Lord, you know what I'm talking about, and I thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Okay, anyone else? What about testimony or praise report?
Hey, I have a praise report.
Oh, you go, Jackie.
Amen. I just want to thank the Father. Thank you, Father, so much for my sister, Cheryl, Lord. Thank you for just holding her and taking care of her. And she had surgery today and for some fibrous tissue that came from the lumpectomy that she had last year from the breast cancer that they told her. And I just prayed over her, and I had texted a prayer request to some brethren, and they agreed, and I just praise God. She's home from the hospital, and she's doing well. She's a little groggy from most of the medication they gave her, but I'm just believing and still standing in the gap for her. I just praise you, Father, for taking care of my sister and guiding the surgeon's hands and bringing her home and making everything go incident-free. And I praise you that the words that you're using through my mouth are planting seeds in her, Lord. And I'm just standing and believing, Father, that you're just going to bring her into the kingdom, that you're just going to open her eyes and take that veil off and just let her see clearly, Father. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
All right. Any more prayer requests or testimonies or praise report? Is that Mia and Anna?
Yeah.
Well, praise the Lord.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we got your message. Thank you very much for the prayer.
Well, it looks like you made it, didn't it?
Yeah.
Praise God.
Yeah, thank you.
Amen. They had texted me this afternoon. They've been having a whole lot of trouble getting on the conference calls here lately. And we all prayed, and they believed with me. Texted back and forth, and they didn't know if it's going to be on or not, but I just told them, I said, well, see you tonight. And here they are. Praise God. Praise God.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? God can even fix our computers. He did that to here, who Brad's, I believe it was. Hard drive was crashed on him. And they prayed for it, and it came back to life. They was able to get all, and matter of fact, it had some books on it, if I'm not mistaken. Tim, help me out here. Well, where'd he go?
Oh, no, I'm still here.
Okay. But they had some books, some UBM books on there that he was editing and hadn't quite finished them. And what happened is when they got them back, when he got the hard drive back, when it came back, they prayed for it and they turned it back on. All the books that were on that computer at that time had already been edited and reviewed by God himself. They were already done. And that was a miracle. Praise God. All right, anybody else? Need prayer, praise report, or testimony?
Hey, Michael, I'm just going to, Bill stopped by tonight, and I just want to pray for him. The Lord's given him a green light to switch jobs, and he had a situation right after he threw a fleece, and the Lord said yes. He had somebody he used to work with some time back just drive by, honk at him. He stopped, and the guy told him about a real good paying job that opened up at the place he was working, and that he would put a good name in, or put it, you know, a good word in for him, and that. So he's got to go in tomorrow and do an aptitude test and then a bunch of hearing tests and stuff like that, and, you know, He just asked to keep him in prayer. So I just like to lift him up. So Father, we just lift up Bill to you right now, Lord, and we just thank you, Lord, for just allowing him to get a good night's sleep tonight and wake up in the morning refreshed. And Lord, we just ask, Lord, if this is you opening the door, that this door will swing wide open. And if this is not the job, that you're going to close this door, Lord. But Father, we just pray right now. If this is the job, that you're just going to guide him through this test he's got to take tomorrow, and we just ask you for favor. We ask you for wisdom. We ask you to just guide his thoughts, and that you're going to pick out the answers for him, and they're going to be led of you. I just bind up any fear, anxiety, any ploys of the enemy to get him out of the rest. We just forbid that in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just thank you for just blessing Bill with an awesome job. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. All right. That's a done deal. All right, anybody else? Okay. Anytime you have anything, just go ahead and jump right in. You know, the Lord's been dealing with us, just to get you up to date, a lot here lately, a lot about praying individually and corporately, interceding for people, you know, on a personal level. And we're seeing the fruit of that. The other morning, we in our prayer group, the Lord had really impressed upon everybody's heart there that it was time to get serious about praying and interceding for the people who are stumbling, you know. And we know that when we pray in the Spirit, that that's a perfect prayer, and that God answers those perfect prayers. So that's what we did the other morning, and we're already seeing the fruit of that. And it's just awesome to watch God work when God's people come together in one accord and in one heart. It's just really awesome. So that's kind of what God's placing in our heart. And also, He's placing it in our hearts to seek Him on a personal level, you know, to seek Him and be friends with Him, to converse with Him, to allow Him to speak to us. You know, a lot of times we go in the prayer closet and we do all the talking with all our wants and I want, I need, I got to have, you know, and all that kind of stuff, when in fact God wants us to just be still and allow Him in that still small voice to talk with us and to converse with us and fellowship with us. And that's really something that we all ought to be doing on a regular basis, is just getting there quiet. That ought to be the first thing we do in the morning times. I know sometimes we get things kind of get hectic, but we need to wake up in time to get in and spend a little time with the Lord. And it'll make your day go so much easier. Tim talked here a while back about one of the fellow guys here that he was having meetings with some of his underlings, and man, it was just chaos in those meetings. And then one day the thought came to him, well, maybe I need to pray before we have these meetings, and he did, and everything just clicked like it was supposed to. So that was a pretty good lesson for him and anybody else that's listening as well, that if we do put God first in the mornings, he'll plan our day for us, and he'll make sure our day goes well all day long. So that's just something that the Lord's placed in my heart. Now, if somebody else got anything that the Lord's placed on your heart.
I do, Michael.
Okay, Chris.
Yesterday morning I was reading in John 17, and the Lord had me pick up a pen, and I wrote he gave me a few words, just real quick. After reading John 17, I wrote down, yes, we may be in the world, because of Jesus, we are not of this world. This world has already been judged. We need to let Jesus work through us to set the captives free. God, through His Holy Spirit, has to do all the work. And God, I pray that everything that we do and everything that we say is a witness of You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank You, Lord. Yes. That we put Him first in everything that we do. Praise God. All right, anyone else? Is the Lord talking to y'all out there? I'm just asking. Lord saying anything to anybody out there? What's He telling you? I want to read something here that the Lord placed on my heart the other day in Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord Well, how are you strong in the Lord? Well, if you renew your mind with the Word of God, but you also, just like I was talking about earlier, is you seek Him in prayer. You seek that fellowship with Him. And in the strength of His might, and He's got some might, don't He? Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. How many of you know the devil's sitting right there at your door, waiting on you to just hiccup so he can come right on in and attach himself to you? So we have to put that whole armor of God on to keep that devil at bay. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So what Ephesians is telling us here is that our battles are not with flesh and blood. Our battles is not with man, our neighbor, or our boss, or our friend, or our family member. It's against the enemy in the spiritual realm. And that's what God's telling us here. Wherefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. You stand in faith. Don't make any difference what's going on around you. You stand in faith that God's got you in His hand. So you don't have to worry about the circumstances that are coming all around you, because God's going to pull you through them if you have faith. Stand, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Withal, taking up the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fire darts of the evil one. If you don't have that shield of faith, that evil one's going to eat you alive. If you have condemnation in your mind, that devil's going to eat you alive. If you have sin in your life, that devil's going to have his way with you. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all prayer, you listen to this? With all prayer and supplication, praying at all seasons in the Spirit, and watching thereunto in all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. In other words, we need to be praying in the Spirit. That's the perfect prayer, because the Holy Spirit is praying through you the things that need to be prayed. Not our wants and wishes, but God's wants and wishes. And so when we pray in the Spirit, things happen. The prayers get answered that are prayed in the Spirit, I'm telling you. And on my behalf, that utterance may be given unto me in opening my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. If you have the Word of God in you, and you have, and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and you're prayed up, you have filled with the Holy Spirit, and you know that God's with you, there ain't nothing that can stand against you. And that's kind of what we've been talking about these last few weeks, is that get that personal relationship with God, get filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you get filled, how do I get filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, to get filled with the Holy Spirit, you ask the Lord to do it for you, and He'll do it. Now, it's not most of the times, it's not a feeling, it's a faith. You just know that you're filled with the Holy Spirit by faith. Lord, fill me to the uttermost with your Holy Spirit, and I thank you for it. And then you start thanking God for it, and then you know that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And you go about the day's work knowing that the Holy Spirit has filled you up, and then you can spill out and splash on people all around you all day long. You'll have that joy and peace in your heart, and that rest in your heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. that he's with you. And you don't have to worry about all these old things that come up that make us fearful, make us gets us anxious, gets us puts us into anxiety, puts us in a fearful mood. But if you have the Lord and you filled up with the Holy Spirit, that's not going to happen, because you know that God is with you. He's walking, talking inside of you. That's the problem that we have a lot of times, that we don't understand that Jesus himself is living inside of us. And what do we have to worry about? We've got the kingdom, the King of all kings, with us, walking with us 24/7. And all we have to do is just converse with him, fellowship with him a little bit here and there, and he'll do it. I'm telling you, he'll do it. He'll show himself strong on your behalf. And in these days to come, you're going to need that strength that he can provide. I'm looking for something here that he can provide, that only he can provide. I'm telling you, you're going to need that. You're going to need it. We're all going to need it. Michael Montana has done a fantastic job here in the past few weeks of warning us about the destruction and the things that are coming. And it's not going to be a pretty sight unless, and it's still not going to be a pretty sight, but you're not going to be able to make it through it unless you have the Lord on your side. And the way you get the Lord on your side is that fellowship with him. Right? Amen. Amen. Anybody got anything they'd like to add to that?
Brother Michael?
Yes, go ahead, Angie.
I would like to share a song. It goes along the lines of what you were just speaking of, and it's right out of Psalm 18. It's not the whole psalm, but it's part of the psalm, and it was inspired from Psalm 18. May I go ahead and do that?
Yes, you can. I'd be delighted.
All right, thank you.
I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Lord is my rock and my fortress. My deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My buckler and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. Shall I be saved from my enemies? I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. Shall I be saved from my enemies? I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Lord is my rock and my fortress. My deliverer, my God, my strength. In whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. Shall I be safe from my enemies? I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. Shall I be saved from my enemies? Saved from my enemies. Saved from my enemies. My enemies, because of Jesus, my glorious Lord. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. Shall I be saved from my enemies?
shall I be saved from my enemies? Saved from my enemies. Saved from my enemies. Saved from my enemies because of Jesus.
Oh man, I'm just singing away with you, Angie.
Oh, bless your heart. Yes, praise
God. Bring
them together. Hallelujah.
Amen. That
he
was great.
Hallelujah.
Thank you so much. Woo.
Michael Mine might have a song he wants to share too at some point.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead. This is great time. Praising God.
This is body ministry, man. This
Amen.
Is awesome.
Amen. I'm telling you, this is awesome. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yeah, go ahead, Michael.
Well, first I want to read a scripture. This is, I just had it on my heart. There's a song that I heard, I think years ago. We led a camp, discipleship camp, and this lady was there that ended up being one of the top people at the Jews for Jesus, and this was a song that they wrote. But I really felt the message was pertinent. Out of Isaiah 5, it says, I will sing to my well-beloved a song as touching his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. He fenced it, gathered out all the stones thereof, planted it with the choicest vine, built a tower in the midst of it, and made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done to it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, it brought forth wild grapes. And now, to go, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up. I will break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but shall come up briars and thorns. And I will also command the clouds that they rain not upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. He looked for judgment, and behold oppression, and for righteousness, and behold a cry. And this song has some Hebrew words in it, so you can bypass that. But my beloved had a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. He digged and cleared it all of stone. The land was good to till. He built a wine vat in its pit and planted it with vine. And he looked for it to bring forth fruit that he might drink the wine.
But
Adonai Elohim, you made a song, Borei Ari Haruben. But as the fruit matured, he saw how wild the grapes became. Although he loved and cared for them, the vines would not be tame. Why children of Jerusalem did not the harvest yield? What more, my beloved, do to tend his wasted field? Adonai Elohim, you made a vow long, for
Come on, Jesus. That was good. Thank y'all so much. Y'all got any more?
You want more?
Oh, boy, that'd be awesome.
I'll sing one more. We were talking the other day, and I still remember a lot of the songs from the early Jesus movement back in about 1969 or 70. And I just wanted to share one of those with you that I thought might be. It's Psalm 133. You know what that one is, don't you?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll try. Here we go.
Before, how good a thing he did, and how becoming well. For men such as blessed are, in you we see to dwell. In you deity, in you deity, in you deity. Well, like precious ointment on the head, and down with it, it flows, even there on me. Down his room, his room. Down his room, his room. Like servants do that do that does. On Sunday or now, he said, with him, the thing God commands, and I being never met, and I I can
Oh, praise God. I can just picture all of us around your fire up in your house, Michael and Angie, in your living room in there, and you're sitting, both of you sitting there playing, and we're singing along with you. That'd be awesome.
It's a little easier not to sing to a telephone, but it's we are sitting up here by the fire. It's about 2 degrees in the evenings here. And
oh, my goodness. Well, we'll pray for you, brother. Praise God. But no, I can just imagine in my mind all of us sitting around the fire there and enjoying the music and enjoying the fellowship with one another. Can't y'all do that? Can y'all imagine that?
Come on over. You're all welcome.
Yeah. Amen. All right. Got the hot chocolate on, and here we come.
Okay.
Awesome. That is awesome. Well, thank y'all very much.
Thank you for letting us share it. It was a privilege.
Yeah, it was a blessing. Okay, anybody else got a song, a testimony, a praise report? That was awesome. I'd sing, but I'd run all of you off. I ain't going to sing. All right, anybody else got anything they'd like to share? You know, one time, if y'all remember, Michael and some of you, I think Marlon was here and Stan and them, David, all of them, Malcolm lit up the keys for us one night. That's been about 4 years ago, I think, 3.5, 4 years ago. Malcolm lit up the piano for us one night. Couple of nights, I guess. We enjoyed that. Amen. Michael, do you have something you need to share?
Just give me a little time to think about that.
Yeah, go ahead. That's fine. I've got something here that I love to do occasionally, and it's by Dr. S.M. Lockridge, who was a pastor in San Diego, and he gave these words in a sermon in Detroit in 1976. And I've done this before, but it's been a long time since I've done it, and I'd like to do it again. And it's called That's My King. And he starts out, he says, "My King was born king. The Bible says he's a seven-way king. He's the king of the Jews. That's an ethnic king. He's the king of Israel. That's a national king. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings, and he's the Lord of lords. Now, that's my king. Well, I wonder if you know him. Do you know him? Now, don't try to mislead me. Do you know my king? David said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. My king is the only one of whom there are no means of measure that can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of the shore of his supplies. No barriers can hinder him from pouring out his blessing. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. That's my king. He's God's son. He's the sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands alone in himself. He's honest. He's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's supreme. He's preeminent. He's the grandest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the supreme problem in higher criticism. He's the fundamental doctrine of historic theology. He's the carnal necessity of spiritual religion. That's my king. He's the miracle of the age. He's a superlative of everything good that you choose to call him. He's the only one able to supply all our needs simultaneously. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He's the Almighty God who guides and keeps all his people. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent, and he beautifies the meek. Now that's my king. Do you know him? Well, my king is a king of knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. He's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislatures. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the king of kings, and he's the lord of lords. That's my king. His office is manifold. His promise is sure. His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you, but he's indescribable. That's my king. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible and he's irresistible. And I'm coming to tell you this, that the heaven of heavens can't contain him, let alone some man explain him. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hands. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree about him. Herod couldn't kill him, death couldn't handle him, and a grave couldn't hold him. Now that's my king. He always has been, and he always will be. I'm talking about the fact that he had no predecessor, and he'll have no successor. There's nobody before him, and there'll be nobody after him. You can't impeach him, and he's not going to resign. That's my king. You know, that's my king. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Well, all the power belongs to my king. We're around here talking about black power and white power and green power, but in the end, all that matters is God's power. Thine is the power, yeah, and the glory. We try to get prestige and honor and glory for ourselves, but the glory is all his. Yes, thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever. Well, how long is that? Forever and ever and ever. And when you get through with all the evers, then amen. All right.
That was awesome.
Amen, that was really brother.
Good. Yeah, I always love to listen to that on YouTube. I did that once at a pot blessing, too, and it was a blessing to me. I don't know about anybody else, but I enjoyed it. All right, anybody else? Any comments? Yeah, Mara.
Hello, Michael.
Oh, Gaynos, yes, go ahead.
Yeah, well, earlier you had asked if the Lord was, you know, what he's been speaking to anybody, and I know that this was probably just spoken to me individually, but I thought, well, I would share it this evening.
That'd be great.
Okay, you know, and, you know, he does get kind of tired of us wanting to talk all the time. You had mentioned that, and I know whenever I sit down just to listen to him, the first thing I hear is, be still and know that I am God. You know, it's like, I already know, but you just want to talk and talk and talk. And anyway, this is what I heard him tell me this morning. Quiet your spirit so you can hear my voice. Cast out all distraction. I am here to guide you. Don't put your agenda before me. You will find your agenda will consume all your time, and there will be no room for me, no time for me. I will be pushed outside as when I was born in a stable because there was no room in the inn. Don't let this be a repeat in your life. You must make room. You must make time for me. I will not push my way into your life. I want to meet your needs, but it will happen only as you focus on me. Your part is to submit and obey my word, to trust, to believe. My promises are for you. Believe and you will receive. Stand on my word. Don't waver in doubt and unbelief. I am faithful to my word, but you must believe it or it won't manifest in your life. And the scripture that I got by random was in John 16. And I would just like to read like 10 verses there. Would that be all right? And in that day, ye shall ask me nothing. Amen, amen. I say unto you, if ye shall ask anything of the Father, he will give you in my name. Hitherto ye have asked no thing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy be fulfilled. These things have I spoken to you in Proverbs, as an hour cometh when I shall no more speak to you in Proverbs, but shall report to you openly of the Father. In that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will ask the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came forth from the Father. I came out from the Father, and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go unto the Father. His disciples say, behold, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now know we that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any one should ask thee. By this we believe that thou comest forth from God. Jesus answered them, believe ye now? Lo, an hour cometh, even is come, that ye shall be scattered, every one to his own, and shall leave me alone. And I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken to you, that in me ye may have peace. In the world ye have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And anyway, that was the scripture that I got this morning. And I thought for the words that I got, it really matched up. And I thank him for his faithfulness. And thank you for sharing what you shared. It really blessed me. And I also enjoyed the music by Angie and Michael. Thank you. Blessings to you all. Bye.
Amen. Gay Noel, I'm going to ask another favor of you. Would you send that word that you got to me in email so that I could share that?
Oh, sure. You mean the one that I felt the Lord was speaking to me personally?
Yes, yes.
Okay, sure, I can.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, anybody else? Anyone else?
No, I thought in that word, as far as pushing him outside into the stable, and that's what a lot of us end up doing, is it's, you know, we're running after our agenda and not his agenda, and we keep, you know, pushing him to the side, and I just see where, you know, he's not going to push himself into our life. We need to put him, you know, in our life, but, you know, he's not going to push his way in. So I thought that was an awesome word. It really, really, you know, had some depth to it. So I enjoyed that. So thanks for sharing that.
Amen. That was a good word. It's a right on word, too. It's a word that God's been speaking to a lot of people. Praise God. Okay. Anyone else?
Brother Michael.
Hey, go ahead, Michael.
I don't mean to dominate anything tonight, but I just would like to share just a little bit from my heart. These have been very intense times. I feel like there's an earthquake in my spirit right now. Just the deepest dealings of the highest order. You know, when the Lord talks about that he searches the Word of God. Is a discerner of the thoughts and very intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And this is a time of tremendous revealing, a time of tremendous shaking. And I think there's no way that I know myself that I'm dealing with something that I see all the time, and that's the blindness that comes with our culture. There's a certain blindness that comes because this is the way we've always done things. We've always had pretty much whatever we needed. We've had full bellies. We've had, when we want to go somewhere, we get in the car, we drive somewhere. We're just used to an affluent lifestyle compared to what most of humanity is going through. And without even knowing it, we're affected, just like leaven. This culture has affected us in many ways. And we don't realize everything, you know, Jesus spoke, and he said, he that has, to him shall be given more. And he that has not, from him shall be taken. even what he has. In another place, he said, even what he seems to have. And I, you know, the man, the people in the Laodicea, they thought they were in one state of mind, rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing. And as I've mentioned before, I believe that was an attitude of self-sufficiency, not a declaration orally. And but they're doing fine, don't need anything, and don't know the Lord's true evaluation of the situation is they're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And it's a desperate time. You know, I think of the Lord's words when he said to a generation, he said, you say today, this morning, the sky is red and lowering, it shall be foul weather, and it is so. In the evening, you say the sky is red, it shall be fair weather, and it is so. And he said that you hypocrites can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the sign of the times. And I think we're, with all of us, there's just, whether we like it or not, just because of where we're coming from as a people in this nation, it's very difficult for, if you ask somebody in Bosnia, or somebody in North Korea, or somebody in China, or Soviet Union, to talk about what their grandparents and their mothers and everybody has been through. They know crisis. They know hardship. They know difficulty. They know starvation. They know the horrendous times that they've been through. But for us, it's a book that is something we can read out of a dictionary. We can see pictures of it in a foreign land, and we can, unless it's revealed to us by the Spirit, we really don't get it. We really don't understand the times we're in. But I believe it's one thing that's, you know, it's critical in this hour. I'm just going to use a couple of examples, but you look at Peter and all of the fishermen. These guys are fishermen by trade. They're in a boat. They've cast out into the sea. And the Lord Jesus is in the boat also. And I'm convinced that the Lord himself is the one that allowed this strong dealing to deal with the disciples, because this is their world. They figured they knew a whole lot more about the sea than Jesus did. He's just a flatlander. And these guys were fishermen. They knew all about the sea. And he's sleeping in the boat while there's such a terrible storm that finally they wake him up and said, "Do you not care, Master, that we perish? Do you not even care? We're perishing. This boat is going down." And Jesus, he said, turned and rebuked the sea and the wind, and there was a great calm. And then he turned and said, "How is it that you have no faith?" I mean, the Lord showed those disciples at that time that he was in full command of the circumstances, a lot bigger command than what we had, what they had referenced. No point of reference, and they'd never seen anything like this before. They never knew anything like this. And the scripture is full of people who have been in unspeakably difficult situations. And the high places of the scripture, the places that we all remember, are the places where God came through in the midst of the most horrendous crises that men ever faced. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they built this fiery furnace, and everyone that wouldn't bow to the statue that Nebuchadnezzar had set up was going to be burned in the fiery furnace. And they got called on the carpet by their fellow men, their peers, and said, "Hey, there's some Hebrews here that will not bow before your statue." And the king was furious, and he turned to them and said, "Do you not, you think that the God you serve is able to deliver you from the fiery furnace? Is it true you're not going to bow before my statue?" And he says, "We're not careful to answer you in this matter, O king. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace, but whether he delivers or not, we will not bow." But these men were facing the most absolute, terrible obstacles. You have to picture yourself in that same situation, getting ready to be. And he built the fiery furnace 7 times hotter, commanded it, to the point that the men that built the fire were all burned in the fiery furnace. They died doing it. And then he threw them in there, and God came on the scene. But if you were in that situation, and you're looking at this burning fiery furnace, and the men kindling the fire, dying one by one, trying to build this fire, I just think sometimes we read these stories, but we haven't really taken a good look at the terrible obstacles that these men were facing, but they became the high places in the scripture because God came on the scene. But the key in all of this is that we don't see things with natural eyes. And this is what the greatest temptation, especially in a self-sufficient people, in a self-sufficient society, you know, people, you know, we've been there and done that, especially the older ones. They've had some history and, you know, they get developed a certain amount of self-sufficiency, and God wants to bring us to a place where we are dependent utterly. The Lord Jesus said, I do nothing of myself. He's called us to the same walk, that I can do nothing of myself. And you look at all of the circumstances, the David and Goliath, when the giant was yelling across back and forth and putting the armies of Israel, fear and trembling was on him when this Philistine stood up and with his armor and his mighty spears and sword and said, send you one of you wimps over here to fight me, you know. And this went on for 40 days, and Israel just trembled when this man came on the scene. But David was another kind of a fellow. He was seeing things from another perspective. When he turned to that Philistine, he said, you come to me with sword and with spear and with shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you've defied. This day is going to deliver you into my hands, and I'm going to take your head off your shoulders and feed your carcass to the fowls of the air. I mean, he spoke this. He was seeing things beyond the veil, seeing beyond the veil of this natural realm. And if you're looking, and the temptation will be extreme when men's hearts are failing them for fear, just looking at the things coming on the face of the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. To have a people that are unmoved at the giants, unmoved at the circumstances, at the death that's all around us, when the creation itself goes mad, when God rises to shake terribly the earth, when everything around you is completely gone mad, there's going to be a people. I believe Psalm 46 is not some sort of a allegory. I believe when he says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth should be removed, though the mountain should slip into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountain shake with the swelling thereof. I believe those are real things about the days we come into that are going to happen. You know, it speaks in the scriptures in Micah when it says, behold, God cometh down. He cometh down to tread upon the high places of the earth, and the mountain shall be molten beneath him, and the valley shall be cleft, and shall be poured out as waters down a steep place, and shall be as wax before the fire. And there's so many scriptures about the days we come into when the earth is going to reel to and fro like a drunken man. And there's going to be a people that are unmoved by that, because they know who's behind it. They know that God, and they know that God has said he would rise and shake terribly the earth. But they also know he's in absolute control, and their lives are in his hands, and he's able to keep everything that's been committed to him against that day. You look at the people of God, the declaration has been made in Mordecai's time when Haman came in and made a declaration because of his hatred for Mordecai to get all the Jews killed, and it was sealed with the king's ring that cannot be changed, that on a certain day all the Jews were going to die. And I tell you what, when you look at how many enemies there were, because at the end of this thing, when God turned it around and Haman hung on his own gallows, and the men that accused Daniel were eaten by the very lions that wouldn't eat him, and the men that built the fires for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're the ones that died building the fire. But the only thing that burned in the fire when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in there were the bonds that held them, that kept them in restraint. And they came out without the smell of smoke on them. And I believe in this hour, the temptation is going to be extreme to look with our natural eyes. Because if we use our carnal mind and we see things with our carnal eyes, and we start thinking about things on a natural level, we will be absolutely filled with terror, with fear, like the rest of the world around us. But those that do know their God in the midst of this time are going to be strong and do exploits, because they do know their God. They're seeing things they have the mind of Jesus Christ. They think his thoughts, his word is what they dwell on. They live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. They don't live by bread alone, but by our circumstances. And this whole wilderness experience, as it says in the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy, that the Lord suffered you to hunger, fed you with manna that you did not know, nor did your fathers, to make you to see what was in your heart, whether you're going to keep his commandments or not, and to teach you to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God and not by the by bread alone. And we've got to be a people in this hour, brothers and sisters, the overcomers are people who are not living in their own life. They're not thinking their own thoughts. They're not speaking their own words. They're not doing their own works. The manifestation of the life that's manifest through them is not their own life. It's the life of Jesus Christ. And this is the victorious life. One brother said it years ago, only one man ever lived the Christian life. And if he doesn't live it in you, it's not going to be lived. The Christian life is not man living for God. It's Christ himself living his life in and through a people. And there will be such a people. And in this is going to be the most glorious manifestation, and I've said it before, there's every prophet that ever lived would trade you your lot right now and to be living right now in this hour, to see the culmination of all things, to see finally when it wraps up and the Lord takes, an angel comes and takes the devil by the nape of the neck and tosses him in the bottomless pit, when the accuser of the brethren is cast down, when the people of God are caught up to rule and reign with him in heavenly places, not by theology, but in the reality of their experience, the people that do know their God, that Christ can manifest resurrection life in them and through them, because the life that's being lived is not their life. Their life has been crucified, and it's now resurrection life, as Jesus walked in when he came back from the grave, the first fruits of them that slept. God wants you to be a first fruit, another. Now, he was the first fruits, but he wants us also to be those that rise again and walk in newness of life, as it says in Colossians. And God wants a people right now, brothers and sisters. And I'm here to tell you, we've got to cultivate that place where we cast down every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, every imagination that lifts itself up, every word that's spoken to us. Sometimes I find myself being a bit impolite with people when they say to me a word, and I say, brother, I don't receive that word. Or somebody, I don't receive that. Here's how I believe, and this is what my testimony is. I don't receive that. They say, you know, you're getting old. You're dusty. I say, brother, you know, I don't receive that. Moses was 120 years old. His natural force was not abated, neither his vision dim. And I'm going to stand on that God is no respecter of persons. And, you know, we've got to stand on what the Word says. We can't be living by what our emotions are saying in this hour. We've talked about it. Many brothers have talked about it. David talks about it. Michael and Pim and others, they talk about these very things. But brothers and sisters, the men that overcame in times past are men that were able to see beyond the natural realm. It said Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt. For he had respect to the recompense of the reward. He endured as seeing him that is invisible, it says. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, and endured as seeing him that is invisible. This is the key, seeing him that is invisible, seeing beyond the veil of this natural realm, in all of this madness. There's not a thing that's written, not a thing that happens to you that's not written already. As we've seen before, the end of the matter is already written down. We already see that Jesus wraps it up. He comes riding out of heaven on a white horse, clothed in a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp two-edged sword, that with it he should smite the nations, rule them with a rod of iron, dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. This is the end of the matter. And when he speaks, he'll wrap it up. It says, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sits on the horse, which sword proceeds from his mouth, and all the fowls are filled with his flesh, with their flesh. We see that the Lord Jesus Christ has the last word. He's Alpha and he's Omega. We just need to find out right now what God is doing and enter into his process with him and understand that he is in absolute control. That not a hair of your head can fall to the ground except the Father permits it, that the sparrows itself don't fall to the ground unless the Lord decides it's time for this little sparrow to go. God rules. He knows the hairs of your head. They're numbered. And with that kind of a God that, you know, Paul says, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. And when those men, Agabus and some of the prophets, bound up Paul and said, the men of Jerusalem are going to bind up Paul, you know, this, and they took his own girdle and bound up Paul. And Paul says, what mean ye to weep and break my heart? I'm not only ready to go to prison, but death for thy sake. When Peter said it, He was not full of the Holy Ghost, and it was before the time of Christ's resurrection. And when Peter spoke it, he spoke it in ignorance. He says, I'm ready to go to prison and to death for thy sake. And he did not. He denied the Lord three times. But when Paul said it, he said it by the Holy Ghost. And he said, I'm not only ready to go to prison and to death. You're not going to weep and break my heart. You can't threaten a dead man. They're already dead. You could cut their foot off. They're not impressed. You could hammer on their head. They're not impressed. And we've got to come to a place where the life that's lived in us, we can say it not in a theological position, but in reality, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, and yet it's not I. It's Christ himself that lives his life in me. And that's where we need to walk. The life that I live, now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And this is the whole issue that's going to come down in this hour. There's a whole lot of religious people right now that are getting ready to be thrown in the fire and to find out that they don't know the God who has the power over the fire. They're going to be thrown in the water, and they don't know the God who has power to speak to the storms and command them to stop. They don't know that mighty God. But I tell you what, there's going to be a people that do know their God. That means they know he has power over all the circumstances in their life. He has power over people, that the angel of the Lord compass about them that fear him to deliver them, that no prison cell can hold them, and that there's unless God wants them there. And if they're there, they're there for the testimony of Jesus Christ, that they're not in a place where they're threatened by what men can do. It says that the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what men can do for me. It says he will never leave thee or forsake thee. Therefore, we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do to me. Hebrews 13. We need to be in a place, brothers and sisters, where we are unmoved by the threats of men, by the threats of devils, that we're known in two places. We may not be known in this world, but we need to be known in heaven. We need to be known in hell. Those brothers, when they were, the devil said to this sons of Sceva, we know Paul and Jesus, we know, but who are you? We need to be known in hell, and we need to be known in heaven. Our names written in heaven, sealed with the testimony, sealed by, it says, with that spirit of promise, whereby we are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We need to be known in heaven, we need to be known in hell. And this is the time, brothers and sisters, I encourage you to come to a place where you have mastery over your thought life, that you have mastery over your flesh, that you have mastery over your tongue, and you have mastery over your emotions. We're in a place that we see, as Moses said, he endured as seeing him that is invisible. And that whole faith chapter is such a marvelous thing, you know. You know, it says Abraham, by faith, sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with them of the same promise. A land of promise. And remember, it's a land where 2 and 2 doesn't equal 4. God can take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed the multitude. He speaks to the storm and commands it to stop. He walks across the seas, speaks to the spirits, and they obey him. He commands, has power over sickness and disease, the very elements, and over men, that they can't take him until his time. And then when he turns at that time and said, don't you even know that even now I could ask of my Father, and he would give me more than 12 legions of angels. That he has power, that the only way that anything can befall us, if we're truly surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're truly given to him and truly given our lives to him, is if it's in the Father's purpose and will. And if it is, you want to be there anyway. You don't want to save your life if it's God's time for you to lay it down. You don't want to lay down your life if it's God's time to keep it. You want to walk in a place of obedience where you only do those things which you see the Father do. And the Lord spoke something to my heart. I may have mentioned it one time, but the prerequisite to obedience is hearing the command. The prerequisite to hearing the command is willingness to obey. And the command to be, and the prerequisite to be willing to obey, is complete surrender. And it's too late, brothers and sisters, for us to hang on to any of our own agendas. We've got to start trimming the fat, like the storm when Paul was getting ready, when he was in that storm on that sea. It got to a point where they began to cast off the very tackling of the ship, and then they started casting off the very food. We've got to lighten our ships, brother, because we're coming into a storm like you can't comprehend. And we got to start throwing this stuff off that's going to take us down in the sea of this stormy sea. We got to start casting off the things that were once precious to us. The very tackling of the ship, the very food. Those guys have trimmed the fat to that point. The kind of storm we're coming into, I think that's a type and a shadow. That we come out of this thing with our very lives. We will be doing well. And that's only if it's in God's purposes. But brothers and sisters, I believe this is a time for us to be able to say honestly, not with any guile at all. God doesn't want any mouth service or lip service. He wants us to be utterly honest with Him. And if we come honestly and we've got 1 ounce of reality, it's better than a 1,000-pound facade. And it's better to come and say, Lord God, here I am. And I am one step ahead of a Laodicean, Lord. I know that I'm wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And I'm calling unto you, Lord God, for I saw that I may see garments of your righteousness, that I may be clothed in white, and the shame of my nakedness would not appear. And I want gold tried in the fire, Lord. I want to be rich truly, Lord God. And if we'll get very honest with the Lord, we'll come before Him. God's ready to do business. He'll do transaction with us. And you can buy the pearl of great price. And it doesn't matter. The price is the same for everybody. Sell everything he had that he might possess that pearl. He didn't say you can sell some to the rich guy. He can sell just a few of his goods. No. Whether you've got 50 cents or whether you've got $500 or whether you've got a million, doesn't matter. The price is the same. God wants us to lay it all down right now before his feet and to say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. I mean it with all of my heart, Father. I don't care if you want me in India. I don't care if you want me in Sri Lanka. I don't care if you want me in Zimbabwe. I want your will. I want to do your will. I'm willing to stay. I'm willing to go. I'm willing to live. I'm willing to die. I'm willing to speak. I'm willing to hold my peace. Not my will, but yours be done. And I mean it with all of my heart, Father. And when you come to that place and you're speaking, not from your head, but from the depths of your heart, when it's the Spirit of God in you, birthing that cry, brothers and sisters, you get ready. There's an earthquake going on in your spirit. You're getting ready for great changes. And the resurrection life is going to replace your own life.
Amen. Good word. God expects our absolute surrender to Him. Praise God. Thank you, Michael. Great, awesome word. Anybody got any comments?
I'll share a little bit. That was really good. I'm really seeing where we really know, you know, what is coming, and the lost really doesn't know what's coming, and most of the church, they think we're in end times, but they really don't know what's coming, and most of them think that they're just going to fly away as far as that, and you know, God has given us the grace to open up our eyes and to come to the understanding of what is really coming. And He's been working on most of us. You know, He's sanctified us from the apostate system. And He's working on getting us set apart from our flesh. And to a point where, you know, we are taking our thoughts captive and learning how to take hold of those thoughts and cast down, you know, the vain imaginations that get us into those emotions. And He's teaching us to watch what we say with our tongue and, you know, teaching us to speak blessings and not speak curses. And you know, we're trying to come into this fullness of Christ, and you know, and walk in the obedience. And there's a lot of people out there that, you know, think they're following the Lord and think they're walking in righteousness, and they don't have the fullness, and you know, their eyes aren't open, and they're really being led by what they see. And the Lord is trying to, with what we have around us, teach us not to be led by our natural sight and our natural hearing. And most of, you know, what He's using with us right now to kind of train us up is the people around us, you know, the people at work, the people, you know, that he's put in our midst, you know, what we're seeing as far as, you know, on the internet or in the politics or on television or whatever it is. And I just see where he's just working on me to not get into judgment or not get into emotions or not, you know, enter in, but to see it in the spirit, see the spirits behind, you know, the situations that are going on, see the stronghold, see it, you know, and that's really where we need to be, is seeing all this in the spirit. And he's preparing us for what is coming, and, you know, the best he can as far as, you know, where we're at right now. And we're trying to live this crucified life, and this flesh does not want to die, but the flesh has to die to be able to handle what's coming, you know, so we're not pulled into those emotions and being led of, you know, everything around us, so we can be used of the Lord. So, you know, I really see that, you know, it's us, you know, it's us entering into that fire and having the bonds burned off and, you know, trusting in the Lord as far as for his protection and, you know, during these times. So, you know, what Michael shared is just, you know, is just, you know, just pretty, you know, it's powerful as far as, you know, what the Lord is trying to do in us and get us out of this being, you know, led by what we're seeing and what we're hearing and, you know, in our emotions and that. And I've been dealing with that. I just, you know, you get into a situation and you're in the rest and you're being led in the spirit. And then, you know, something or someone around you or a situation or something comes up and you get a critical thought or you, you know, get frustrated or whatever it is. And the next thing you know is you're getting spanked by the Lord. You know, we're being trained. It was like, you know, what are you doing judging that person? You know, or what are you doing? That's unforgiveness. And, you know, the more we walk in this, the less we're able to get away with, because he needs to train us up. And we've got to start seeing, the, you know, what's going on around us in the spirit. And we got to see the spirits behind it, the spirits on the people. And, you know, so we can just get distant, you know, get sanctified from this world and what's going around us, and just be, you know, just set apart in the spirit. And it's a battle to get there and stay there, but he's training us up for, you know, for this. And I think it's an awesome, you know, privilege, and it's just his grace that he's opened our eyes, because there's so many out there that really aren't prepared for what's coming. And I just thought that was an awesome, awesome word, Michael. And I'm, you know, thanks for sharing, man. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's good. Tim, you know, and the great thing about this walk that we have with Christ, it's nothing that we do. We just ask God to do it in us, because he'll do it. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, he says, "It is God that worketh in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." And that's what we ought to seek God for, is to go on our faces before God, until our hearts learn to believe that God himself is going to come in and turn out, get everything out of us that's evil, get everything out of us that's wicked, and to work in us that well-pleasing stuff that he's blessed with. And God's going to do that himself in you. All we have to do is have faith to believe that he's doing it in us. God is in control, just like Tim and Michael both said. He's in control. And when we say to completely surrender to God, that's something that God does in us. We want it, We can't do it on our own. We have to ask God to do that in us. God, do this in me. I want to absolutely surrender and submit my whole life to you. And the only way I can do that, Lord, is with you. You're the only way I can do it. And I'm going to believe it. I'm going to seek your face until it happens. And I know it's going to happen because you gave me the faith to even work with. Praise God. All right. Anybody else?
One more comment, Michael, and that's this, that Paul says that he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. So if we commit half of our life, he can keep half of it. But the only way this Christian walk works is if you go all the way. And he never made some people say, well, Jesus is my Savior, but not my Lord, you know. That doesn't work. That's not good theology. He's either Lord or he's nothing. And it's the one that does the will of God. He says, he that hears these sayings of mine and does them is like the wise man on the house. And not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom, but he that does the will of my Father. It only works if we go all the way and we have to commit everything to him if we're going to see. You give him everything, he'll give you everything. You draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to you.
Amen. That's right. All of you, I believe every one of you, are feeling those searchings and those hungerings and longings in your heart to be in that place. And Christ Jesus drawing you like a magnet. Christ lived that life of absolute surrender. And he's got possession of you. He's living in your heart by his Holy Spirit. And we've all hindered him greatly. But you know he desires to help us to get a hold of him entirely. And that's what he desires, and that's what he's going to get if you will allow it. And all we have to do is just trust God that he is working that in us. He can do it, and he's going to do it if you allow him. When we bring it to him, that's when he takes it and he turns it around for us. But we have to be absolutely willing to do it. Amen. Like Michael was talking about, the times that are coming up are going to be so catastrophic that we can't, our minds can't even compute that, you know. But with God as our focus and knowing that these circumstances around us starts to get other people's eyes on him, then we can sail through this thing with him leading the way. Not us leading the way. If we lead the way, we're going to fall off one of them earthquake cracks. But if God's leading the way, we'll sail right over those things and be a light to the people that's going to need that light when the time comes. And I believe it's very near. I believe it's very near. All right. Anybody else got anything they'd like to share tonight? You know, in the times ahead, we're going to need our needs supplied by the Lord. And a lot of you, some of you may be asking the question, you know, how do we know that God's going to keep us through this? How do we know that God's going to keep us? How do we know he's going to protect us? How much of it do we have as our works now, and how much of it is God's works? Well, it's all of it's God's works. The new covenant is all about learning how to rest in him and be that vessel through who he does his will and he manifests his life in you. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory, as it talks about in Colossians 1:27, to whom God was pleased to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So how do we know that God's going to do this? It's because of these awesome promises that the Lord made to all, every one of us. If we call ourselves believers, we ought to act in accordance with what we know these promises say. Matthew 21:22, and all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Now, where could you go that would get you beyond the grace of God if you believe that promise right there? I have used that one in Mark 11:24 time and time again to God's success. And here's Mark 11:24 says, there, says basically the same thing. Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever ye pray and ask for, believe that you received them. That's past tense. And you shall have them. Where can you go where God's grace, His provision, and His mercy is not? Well, you can't if you're a believer. Apostle Paul gave us some promises too in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. And my God shall supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. How does he know that God's going to supply every need of yours? Well, he's talking to the saints there in Philippians. And how does he know that God's going to do this for you? Well, if he's going to do it for them, he's going to do it for you, because he's not a respecter of persons, is he? Why don't we just rest and trust in him instead of running around trying to be our own Savior because of the fearful things that's on us and those things that we look at that's coming up in front of us? God loves to show his glory and power when we're at our weakest. His power is made perfect, you know, in our weaknesses. David has a teaching on that, power and weakness, our weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, and he has said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, as Paul knows, that my God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches, glory in Christ Jesus. Well, there's a key phrase right there. It's not necessarily true that everybody is going to receive and have all their needs met. But it's definitely true that all their needs are going to be met in Christ Jesus. Right? Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, that's past tense, blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Man, he's already blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. All, every one of our blessings are in Christ. And as we learn to abide in him, we're going to learn exactly what Paul said, and my God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing too in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Well, where is that in Christ Jesus? In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 24 says this, as for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If that which you heard from the beginning abide in you, you also shall abide in the Son and in the Father. In other words, we need to contend earnestly for the doctrine, the faith that was given to us when? From the beginning. Jude 3 says, beloved, while I was given all diligence to write unto you of our common salvation, I was constrained to write unto you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints. Now, this ain't the fallen faith of our day, but the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. And if we contend for that, if that's what we're putting into our hearts, then we abide in the Son. That's what the Scripture says. And it also says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. You know, Jesus was our type and our shadow and our example, wasn't he? He wasn't only our sacrifice. He taught us what it was to walk just like a disciple. And his disciples walked just like he did. And if you put this word in you that they had in them, you're going to do exactly what they did. And if you got what they got, you're going to do what they did. And if you do what they did, if you put that living word of God in your heart, you're going to get what they got. We don't need all of this apostasy that's in the churches today. We need that original, powerful word that was given unto us. And we need to know that God's called us to walk in His steps. And here's another point about what it is to abide in Christ. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 6. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. And whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither knoweth Him. Well, that makes it almost impossible in some people's minds, unless you understand what sin is in the New Testament. Y'all don't know what this is. James chapter 4 and verse 17. To him therefore that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. You know, in the New Testament, you have to know that you're sinning in order for it to be a sin. If you don't know, you can be ignorant of a lot of things, and the blood of Jesus is going to cover you. Amen? It's going to cover you. Don't worry about it. God forgives us because of our ignorance, doesn't He? That's just like a child who's growing up. We forgive that child of a lot of foolish things that children do. And that's the way God is with us. And I thank God that He is, because of all the ignorant things that I've done. But when we get that knowledge, then God begins to hold us responsible just like a child. When that child grows up, you don't treat him like a child anymore. You begin to hold him responsible. So, you know, so they, because they do know more. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and a fierceness of fire, which shall devour the adversaries. And John says that there's no sin in him. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 5. And you know that he was manifested to take away sin. And in him, if you're in Christ, is no sin. So when you sin, you're not abiding in Christ, right? 1 Corinthians 6 and 18 says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Listen, when you sin, you ain't sinning. You're not sinning in Christ, because there ain't no sin in him. And of course, sin is based on everything that you know, right? You are in Christ if you believe that he took away your sins. You're justified by your faith. Romans 3:28 said, we reckon therefore that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of law. And that's the only thing that puts you in Christ, is justification by faith. Because you believe that you ain't no longer a sinner. You believe that now he's taken away your sins, and that he has imputed to you his righteousness through faith. And therefore, faith and knowledge has everything to do with abiding in Christ. And we just looked at that in Christ, all of your needs are met. Your spiritual needs and your physical needs are met. And that's how come Paul was sure that God was going to supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That's a pretty safe statement for Paul to make, because he was walking in it. We're not talking about using the word of God for fleshly prosperity now. 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, the love of the world is apostasy. And there's a whole lot of preachers preaching that. All we need is just our needs met so that we can do the will of God. Jesus wasn't interested in the world. He wasn't caught up in the world. He had a simple life. All he wanted to do was to obey the Father. And that's the way the disciples is. They just want to obey the Lord. They didn't want to be distracted by the things of the world. They knew that they were here on a real important mission, just like we are. We're here on a real important, every one of you are important in the body of Christ. You have a job to do in the body of Christ. And if you don't do your job, there's a lack in the body of Christ. We are to be disciples of Christ. That's a learner and a follower of Christ. When you're following Christ, you're walking in his footsteps. We're to carry on that great commission, and we don't need to spend our time in a lot of luxury in this world, because there's a job to be done, and our job right now is to get right with the Lord and allow the Lord to work all of that old nastiness out of us, right? Every need, my God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory. That's spiritually and physically, right? Matthew 21:22, and all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. That's a good one. That's one that I use often. In Mark 11:24, I use that even more. So when the time comes and you need something from the Lord, you can drop back on those two promises, and there's a whole lot more in there, excuse me, that we can drop back on and fall back on and know that God will honor those as long as we're walking in his will. You can expect it. In fact, he wants you to expect it. He wants you to thank him after you pray for all of these things that you're praying for, is to go ahead and thank him for it. And then from then on, keep on thanking him for it until you see it. Praise God, because you know it's coming. God's not a liar. He's going to back up what his promises say. But our job is to allow him to do that work in us, that cleansing work, in the days ahead. And this is time to do it, too. This is the time to get right with the Lord and to allow him to cleanse us, to filter all of that old nastiness out of us, and then to ask him to, Lord, I want to hear your voice. I want to know you just like John did. I want to know you just like your friend John. And he'll do it. I guarantee you, he's going to back up what he said. Well, praise God. All right, anybody else got anything they'd like to comment on or share about? You know, the things that I've talked about tonight are things you've heard in the past, and it's good that we hear it all the time. We need reinforcements all the time, I think. And that's kind of the way that most good teachers do. They'll come at you from 15 different angles with the same message of faith. And that's good, because it gets us set in our heart and our spirit to know that God's going to do these things. He's going to back up his promises. Amen. Has anybody got anything they'd like to share or pray about or comment on?
Michael?
Yes.
I was just thinking how we're to confess the end product, even though we're maybe not there yet. Like we, you know, say, by Jesus' stripes, I'm already healed. You know, we speak things that are not as though they already were. And, you know, Brother Eels teaches us that as Jesus is, so are we now in this world, which would be something that we could confess to bring us up to it, because that's who we are and what we're supposed to be. And so I do that along with, you know, healing. When I need healing, I'm already healed, and I'll just say, as Jesus is now in his resurrected power, so am I now in this world, to give God something to bring me up to. So I just wanted to add that to the wonderful things you've already said.
Amen. Mark 9:23, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. If you've got a believing heart, if you've got that faith, and you believe it, it's going to happen. Then if you don't, you go on to the next verse. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. You can ask him to give you more faith, and he'll do it. Oh, praise God. I see some wonderful times coming ahead for us. And I pray that everybody's prepared for it. I know it's going to be catastrophic times, but it's also going to be the best of times for God's people. Because we're going to see him work works that he's never worked before in his saints. Jesus said, the things that you've seen me do, you're going to do. Greater things you're going to do. Greater works you're going to do. I believe it. I believe we're going to see things that just going to absolutely just blow us out of the water. And God's going to put those thoughts in our head to do those things, you know? Yep. It's going to be a grand time. Anybody got anything they'd like to talk about? I don't know how this thing is going to start out. I kind of believe that it's going to be starting out with an earthquake. But, you know, I don't know that. But I know that there's going to have to be an earthquake before it starts. That's what the Word of God says. The anointing of the man-child, and then the earthquake, or during that same period of time. We know that some of the dreams are already starting to come to pass. And it looks like we're on target for this East Coast quake to happen here most any day now. I know that, when was it? I believe it was the 25th, November the 25th, that there was a swarm of earthquakes up and down the New Madrid. That's what Dutch Sense called it. He said a swarm. And then we saw another map on his site that showed earthquakes going around, like around the earth, going the circumference of the earth. And the geologists had told us beforehand that that was not possible, that it would never do that, and it did it. God can do anything, man. He can he can confound the wise, can't he? And what's interesting to note is that a lot of these earthquakes are deep, and the deep ones are the ones that gets the earth all shook up, so to speak. So I don't know if anybody else has been watching those earthquakes, but I just saw it here a few days ago, and it looks like it's just ramping up rapidly. This Planet X is coming into view now. Anybody got any thoughts on that? Well, we're kind of winding down here. It's been an interesting night. Somebody, that was you, Tim.
That was me. We got a tough crowd tonight, Michael.
Yeah, it's interesting times. Earthquakes, the volcanoes, all of those things since 2000. I forget what the ratio is since 2000. It's astronomical, the ramp up in earthquakes and volcano eruptions in the world. I saw something on that the other day. And it's because of this Planet X is disturbing the sun. And the sun, of course, affects our system too.
It's amazing that everything is ramping up, but most of the world has been lulled to sleep. I mean, there's some people that are worldly people that are seeing things and questioning end times, most of the world has just been lulled to sleep. All these things are ramping up, the volcanoes and the earthquakes and all that stuff. And I don't watch a lot of that, but I just, you know, I catch it from time to time. And every once in a while, I'll watch one of those Dutch Senses, and he'll show everything going on in the weather and the craziness. It's pretty amazing as far as what's going on. And that's like what you're saying, you know, it's been ramped up like 400% or something crazy like that. But it's all been kind of hushed up and kept quiet. And, you know, but the people that are out there really searching, I mean, there's some real things going on out there. And it is pretty interesting. And, you know, we see everything kind of ramping up, but we just don't know when it's all gonna come about, you know. But it looks like it's hopefully around the corner. I don't know. I don't know if it's hopefully, but, you know, we've been waiting for this for a while.
Yeah. Well, you know, like the weather patterns, they're just crazy. Up in Indiana, Pam had a cherry blossom come out on her cherry bush and make a cherry last month, November. And then I drove by here. I drove by three large cherry trees, well, cherry bushes, that were in full bloom on November the 11th. And I went by there yesterday, and they're still blooming. That just don't happen in November and December. God's showing us something here. We had a revelation or a dream or something about spring, or maybe it might have been a word of knowledge, about spring in the fall. Well, that's what we're having here, is spring in the fall. We had squashes in September that we pulled in November. Came out, went to blooming, and made squash in November. Now that's, gosh, that's, I ain't never had that happen. I've been gardening for 40 years or longer. I've never had that happen, but it happened. Got it in there on the table right now. Big old ugly green squash. They're good. But they came in the, you know, at the opposite end of the growing season. It's just amazing to me what God's doing and showing us. I don't know, you know, it's all topsy-turvy kind of thing. And that God said that was going to happen. So that's what's happening. Okay, we're kind of winding down here, and I'd like to ask if anybody has any prayer or anything else they'd like to share before we pray and call it a night. Well, Father, we just thank you so much for the body ministry that we have here. We thank you for Michael and Angie blessing us with song tonight and praises. Father, it was awesome. And we thank you for the word that Michael shared and Tim shared, Lord. And I just ask that you bless everybody here, Lord, with a good night's sleep. And Lord, that you would give them a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, Lord, and to seek you out, Lord, and to place it in our hearts to sacrifice our time to spend time with you, Lord, because that's the most important thing right now, Father. And I ask that you place it in my heart more and more and more, Lord, and place it in the brothers and sisters out there's hearts as well, Lord, to want to seek you and to listen to you, Lord, and to listen to those words, just like Gano got, as a right-on word, Lord, and we thank you for that. And, Father, we just ask and we pray that your protection would be upon all of us, and that Psalms 91 would be in effect wherever we go, Lord. Allow us to hear you and for you to lead us every step of the way, Lord. And we thank you for that, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you are doing a mighty work in all of us. And we praise you for all that's accomplished in your name, in Christ. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night, everybody. We love you.